So have you come this morning expecting from God? How many of you come this morning and are willing to let go and seek God until you receive what you came for? What you're entitled to. His promises. That's what you're entitled to. Because he came as a babe. And it takes faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Amen. You know, I have a story for you this morning to start with. It's a story about a scrawny kid who attended a small high school down in the South. They didn't have a wrestling program, but he had read books on wrestling and asked one of the assistant football coaches if he would enter him into some of the wrestling matches in that region. Well, the coach agreed to help the kid. Well, this little guy was neither strong nor skillful, but he had one enduring quality. He refused to give up. He won every single wrestling match because he tenaciously held on to his opponents and wore them down. By the end of the season, he was undefeated, and he made it to the state finals for his weight classification. The kid's opponent was a two-time state champ and a bona fide college prospect. As the scrawny kid faced the state champion, the guy made a couple of quick moves and soon had the kid on his back and about to get pinned. The coach knew his athlete was about to lose, and he couldn't bear to watch it. So he turned his head away. Suddenly, the coach heard the roar of the crowd. And when he turned around, his kid was on top of the state champion, pinning him. He had won the match. The little guy bounced across the mat and hugged the coach and said, "Coach, I won! I won!" And the coach said, "Sure, son, but I missed it. I turned away just before you were about to lose. What happened?" The kid said, "Coach, that guy was good. He had me twisted like a pretzel on that mat. But you know me, Coach, I never give. I never give up. I don't quit. So I opened my eyes, and there in front of my face was a big toe. I don't even know if it's against the rules or not, but I bit into that big toe with all my strength. And Coach, it's amazing what you can do when you bite your own toe." If you've ever been tempted to give up on God and His promises, just remember that little guy. Take a grip on the promises of God and never release them. See, God honors perseverance. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, in the NIV says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." When you drop down to verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Perseveres means to continually do something or try to do something even though it is difficult. When things get tough, persevere. They will change, especially when you have a good confession of faith behind them. There's a song, and it's called, "I Just Feel Like Something Good Is About to Happen." Probably the only two that might know that would be Chet and Patty. I mean, this is a way back song, right? Well, anyhow, I'm going to read you some of that song. It says, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves to call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could be this very day. Call on Jesus. Pray with expectancy. And something good is going to happen. It is going to happen. Expectancy. Call to Jesus. And we are to humbly call. Humble yourself before him. Turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles here. And chapter 7. We're going to read verses 11 through 15. And this is where Solomon has completed the work on the temple. And he has completed the work on his own palace. And leading up to this, this is where he goes and he's praying to God and giving him the temple, honoring it to him. That's why it was built for him. And he makes a sacrifice. And as he's praying, from heaven, flames come down, consumes the sacrifice. You don't think God was listening? Well, we're going to pick up there in verse 11. It says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. And Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. That was Solomon's prayer and request, that God's eyes would be open and attentive to hear the prayers. That's what we've prayed over this same place. Because this is God's house. This is El Equipo Christian Assembly. It's his house. And the word attentive, it means paying close attention to something. He's paying close attention. His ears are attentive to our prayers. Because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. So again, have you come this morning expecting? Are you willing to let go and seek him until you receive what you came for? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When we come to church on Sunday, we should come expecting to receive something. Yeah, we should come expecting to receive something from God. But Sunday's not the only day of the week. God is willing to meet our needs every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do you have to be in the house? No, but it sure makes a big difference. But he hears you. He's attentive to your prayer wherever you are at. When you humble yourselves and pray, Because you can't do it. I know I can't without him. So I pray. I pray. Lord, direct my steps. For the steps of a good man are ordered by you. And I want to be that good man. Those are my prayers. See, God wants us to wake up every day of our lives expecting to receive his best. Not his seconds, his best. Every day. Each and every day. He wants us to have the best. That is his plan. Really? Yeah. Okay. Scripture. Jeremiah 29. Am I right, Roberta? Jeremiah 29. I'm going to read to you 11 through 13. New American Standard Bible. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. That's the Lord speaking. It says, I will listen to you. When you come to him and you pray, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That means all your spirit and all your soul. When you seek him out, seek him from the inner man. This should give us all great hope and comfort. See, it creates in us a sense of urgency of having expectations that God is able to work the plans that he has for us in our lives. Plans for welfare are not calamity. You're going to be prosperous too. He's got plans for you to be in health. Not to be sick. He's a healing God. He's Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Jireh. Right? Jehovah Tisit Kanu. He's your righteousness. Jehovah Shalom. Your peace. Jehovah Rohi, your shepherd. He is a lot for us. And Jesus became those redemptive names when he went to the cross. For us. For us, he became every one of those. But what this really creates in us? Faith. Faith. Hebrews 11. Verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Where is the faith of the church? Where is it gone? Let me give you a word. Distractions. Life is full of distractions. And there will always be distractions in our lives. Things that on a daily basis will test and try our faith. And we know who's behind him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary is given a name, the devil. Is he out there? Yes, he is. And our adversary, the devil, he doesn't change. He does the same thing every day. He is consistent. See, he has a routine he follows. Are you consistent with your faith and your walk? Do you have a God-centered routine that you follow on a daily basis? You got to make one. You got to establish one. Don't sit down and go, oh. No, say, well, you know what? That's right. That's what I need to do. Don't take it as you're being reprimanded. No. Say, oh, no, I know why that came from the Lord. He said, this is going to help me. I need to establish a daily routine for myself to get into the Word, to get into prayer, because you're communicating with your Heavenly Father. And that was made possible through Jesus Christ, His Son. He loves communication. He loves communication. Establishing a routine will help you. Will help you to become an overcomer. In Psalm 118, you guys haven't turned there. Why don't you go ahead and turn there? Psalm 118, New King James. We're going to look to verses 21 through 25. Verse 21, I will praise you, Lord, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Has he become your salvation? Are you born again? Are you born again? Amen. If you're not sure, come back up here. We'll make sure it's done right. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. That word prosperity here in the Greek means success. You can say, Lord, give me success. Whatever I put my hands to doing shall prosper. I'm a child of the King. Know who you are. You're a child of the Most High God. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We need to start our day out rejoicing and celebrating our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus. Rejoicing in Him. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Come on. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. That's how you start your day. Rejoicing in the Lord. That'll sure start your day off on the right step. Amen. When's the last time that you took charge of your day and put the God of all possibilities in the forefront of your life? Because that's where he belongs, in the forefront. See, when he's out in front, things will not be difficult because he's in the lead. Jeremiah 32, verse 27, New Living Translation. I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? With God, all things are possible. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? Think about that. Is it too difficult for him? No, because he's in the lead. When you see those bumper stickers, God is my co-pilot. Well, guess what? You better be switching seats. That's all I got to say. He should be the pilot. You should be the co-pilot. So again, I ask you, are you consistent with your walk and your faith? Do you have a God-centered routine you follow on a daily basis? The man after God's own heart, our Bible hero that we've all come to know and to love, and we love to read about him, we love to hear the stories about him, about King David. He went from a shepherd to a king. Wow. A lot of things happened, though, between that span. A lot of things. And you know what he did? He was consistent. He was consistent with it, and he had a routine. Yeah, and did he make several blunders? Yeah, you better believe he did. He committed a lot of them. Committed adultery, murder. Yeah. He was far from perfect. Far from perfect. But he knew to seek out the perfect one, didn't he? And he did it on a daily basis. When you think you've blown it, seek out the Lord. He is faithful and just to forgive you. And he will get you back on track. Lamentations. Well, there's one I bet a lot of people haven't been into. Lamentations, chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Compassions, his love, his kindness, his care, his concern, his leniency, his tolerance, they fail not. And they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is faithful. He does what he promises to do. So if he promises never to leave you nor forsake you, and he isn't going anywhere, when you think you're alone, you're not alone. He's there with you. The world may be crumbling around you, but he's there, and he's got an umbrella. And nothing can penetrate that umbrella when you're under his protection. Nothing. David knew that he was qualified to not only seek, but also receive God's unmerited love and favor in his life, no matter what. No matter what. Watch what your head says to you. It's going to speak things that go against the Word of God. It's going to speak a lot of negative things to you. And you can shut it up. You can set it up with the Word. Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4. This is David. He wrote this. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land, where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life. Thus, I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Message Bible. God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such hunger and thirst for God, traveling across dry and weary deserts. So here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory, in your glorious love, I am really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. And we are to praise Him with every breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. When we're in worship, that's what you're doing. You're waving your banners of praise to Him. That's what it's all about when you lift up your hands in praise to Him. Every one of us should be willing to express these words that David wrote here. Every one of us in our lives should be able to express those words, just as David did. David was a man just like we are. No different. Now the accuser and the world, they try to condemn us. You notice how I said try? They only can condemn you if you let them. And they tell us that we can't and that we are not worthy enough to be able to do what David did. Well, they're wrong. There's no condemnation, is there? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit, your renewed spirit, because it needs renewed constantly through the Word. And you do that by putting it in through the mind, and then it goes down in deeper. Message Bible. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, and we're going to celebrate the arrival, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. That's talking about the accuser and the world right here. All those who tell us we are not worthy to receive the love, the grace, the mercy, and forgiveness that God longs to give to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hand of sin and death. Jesus has freed us forever. Forever. He is our qualifications. When the devil throws something at you, show him how you have the qualifications that you have to speak to him the way you do. Through Jesus. Jesus has qualified you. Our relationship with him is the key to every good thing that God the Father has ever wanted to do in our lives. Is your relationship with Jesus this morning giving you the sense of expectancy? Expectancy that you are truly entitled to? Yeah, you're truly entitled to. That's what you should have an expectancy for those entitlements. Because you are entitled. And you should have an expectancy to receive what you are entitled to. Entitlement means believing oneself to be inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. Why? Because you're a king's kid. That's why. Be proud of that. You're a king's kid. You have privileges. Yeah, you do. Boldly claim those privileges and use those privileges. Satan does not want you to realize that you have those kind of privileges. No, he does not. But that's when you remind him, wait, I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a king's kid. I do have the privilege. And you can trample upon the serpents and the scorpions and all the power, over all the power that the enemy might try to come against you with. You're a king's kid. The devil works hard. Yes, he does. They're trying to steal. And again, I say, trying to steal what you are entitled to. And he does it daily and sometimes even moment by moment. Am I the only one that's been there? Moment by moment? I mean, he's done it to me. But that's when you got to stop and realize where it's coming from. And that's when you need to get into the Word. That's when you need to get into church and quit. You know, it says what? You're supposed to gather together here in the house? Are you not supposed to be here? Because this is where you're going to hear the Word of God preached, but you're going to be fellowshipping with brothers and sisters. Every one of us here have issues. Every one of us have a problem. But we're all going to work them out. And what better place to be but in God's house? Not forsaking the assemblies of yourself together. No. Jesus loves you. Do you realize that? Jesus loves you. How's it go? Jesus loves me. This I know, for my Bible tells me so. Little ones can be long. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. My Bible tells me so. He loves you. How much does he love you? Think about that. How much does he love you? this much. They didn't force his arms out. He laid there and lifted those arms wide. And that's how much he loves you. He's reaching out to you through those arms. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. God is awesome. God is just so awesome. John 10, verses 7 through 10. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Verse 10. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have life more abundantly." More abundantly. What are your expectations from God this morning? What are your expectations that your relationship with Jesus entitles you to today and every day? Is there a sense in your life that something good is about to happen today? And every day? There should be. There should be. And if not, it's time you took charge of your day. Yeah. Take charge of them each and every day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And then rejoice again. Always rejoicing. Always rejoicing. Bro, it's for you. For you and me. For you and me. It's time to kick the devil off the property and put up the no trespassing and beware of owner sign. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You belong to Jesus. Think about it. You belong to Jesus. Who owns you? Jesus. And greater is He that is in you than the one that's on your property. So guess what? Kick him off the property. Put the signs up. And remember, beware the owner, because you have the ability to speak the word of God against him. Because as long as he is standing at your door, he's only in the way of keeping the good things that God wants for you in your life. It's time, folks. It's time to stoke the faith. Too long has it been little burning down and get lower and lower. Life throws them distractions at you. Things come upon you and you're not stoking it. It's like them old coal furnaces. My wife, when she was a little girl and grew up in West Aliquippa, they had them old coal furnaces. And when you were cold, somebody had to go stoke the furnace. She would go down there and she'd take that rod and she'd break them things up in there, and then she'd take that handle and as she went back and forth and stoked it, the flames come alive and it started burning. And the same thing with our faith. We need to stoke our faith. Get it going again. And then we got to give it some fuel. We got to give it the Word. We got to give it the Word. And that faith will come alive and burn bright. And you will hold your head high. Just realize how much God loves you. And know today may be that very day that you've been waiting for it to happen for you. What we got, Kyle? We good? Okay, I'm going to wrap it up, but I want to read these the last lines of that song. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I have learned in all that happens just to praise Him. For I know He's working all things for my good. Every tear I shed is worth all the investment. For I know He'll see me through. He said He would. Yes, I've noticed all the bad news in the newspaper. And it seems like things get bleaker every day. But for this child of God, it makes no difference. Because it's bound to get better either way. I've never been more thrilled about tomorrow. Sunshine's always bursting through skies of gray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could be. Sister, it could be. Neighbor, it could be. This very day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I thank you.